Sahanao bhunaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavaditamastamavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 32, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains the meaning of the swan who speaks. The swan refers to scriptures which speak about the Lord. Bondage and liberation are illustrated by attractive talks. This is the meaning of Chitra Katam. The swan refers to having the ability to distinguish Atma from non-Atma, just as a swan distinguishes milk from water. The inflected words are endowed with proper conclusions. Vivikta padam. Taking faith in the scriptures, worship the Lord in order to attain liberation. Right? So, milk then is the substance, water then is not. So they can understand what is Atma and what's not. So it's not that they can just say, okay, this is that. From all what's here, they can extract what's transcendental. Right? You know, and then distinguish, this is material. Right. So that's the position. So it's not, you know, like doctor can tell, okay, here's the Lord and here's my duties. But it's not actually working on the transcendental platform.
He's
not getting the full benefit. Right? So then here's that, then we're talking about getting that full benefit. Right? So that means that you can tell, here is Krishna consciousness. This is not Krishna consciousness. Right? And then how to use then what is would be what is, and then what is how you say? Yes, what's those two? Because the point is engaging something in the Lord's service is Krishna conscious, not is material. So there's going to be those things that are directly devotional service, those things that are not devotional service, and those things that are neutral. Does that make sense? Like taking your bath, it's neutral. You can take your bath to go do deity worship. You can take your bath to go out to a party. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point is you have to know, because the problem comes up is, let us say, just for example, this one. Oh, no, but people take bath before they go to a party, so therefore taking bath is karmakanda. We're devotees. We don't care for karmakanda. We don't care for all these rules, so we don't take bath. You understand? So that's why one has to be able to listen to the swan. Right, and so with the Acharya's commentaries, then we can tell what is directly spiritual, right? Or what is meant for that, those instructions, and then how to engage the other points that are made in the Shastras in devotional service, or which ones we don't bother with. Because the foundation of how you behave, whether it's in karma, jnana, or bhakti, is the same. Right. You know that slogan or something, Tad Vigyan Artam? So it's the one about approaching the Guru.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, about. So it means that one's the disciple is approaching the Guru, you know, carrying the wood for sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So someone's serious about following the rules under the guidance of the spiritual master to, you know, elevate themselves in spiritual life. So that's the whole thing, is we follow the rules. We follow the Veda. Otherwise, we'll speculate, make our own, or reject the Veda. You know? So that's the problem, is we want to avoid all that. Or we're just following the Veda and can't distinguish what's material and spiritual. Like the smartest follow the Veda, but it's material because of the consciousness. But the same activities are done by the devotees. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, the leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization, because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. A sane man, however, can see all such grand activities, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with eternal life. The entire world is imitating the materialistic civilization of the West, and therefore the Krishna conscious movement is very much interested in giving the Western people knowledge by translating the original Sanskrit Vedic literatures into Western languages. Right, so that's the idea, is to give Krishna consciousness. Because if the whole world's following has idolized the Western world, so therefore if the Western world becomes Krishna conscious, everyone follows. Right? So that's the idea. Not that they're being idolized, therefore we don't want to rock the boat. You know? Yes. Narad Muni had spoken of a physical object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. The Haryashvas understood this allegory as follows. Eternal time moves very sharply, as if made of razors and thunderbolts. Uninterrupted and fully independent, it drives the activities of the entire world. One does not try to study the eternal element of time. What benefit can he derive from performing temporary material activities? 19. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains the rotating object with razors and thunderbolts. The wheel of time is described as having razors or thunderbolts because time gives fear. It is described as rotating because time is always moving. It is described as sharp because it destroys harshly. Why do you not worship the Lord, since tomorrow or the next day you will die? Right? So that's the point is, time is moving. Right? So it's transcend. That means time is eternal. It's a potency of the Lord. But here in the material world, then it acts in a destructive way. Because as soon as something is started, then it's going to end. Right? That's the whole point. You know, that something will be made very nice. You know, we're not saying that things aren't made and it's not great. But the point is, because of time, it will also go away. So one has to consider that. And since it's going, then we have to consider, then what should we be doing? Because today is fine, but what about tomorrow or the next day? Right? You know, that's the thing. So what are we going to do now?
But if we think like that, we are going to be quite serious about Krishna consciousness.
Yes, we're going to be serious. Yes, which may be a problem, but hey, you know, that's the whole thing. I think it says, make money as if you're going to live forever, and practice spiritual life as if the next moment you're going to die. That's the recommendation.
But is it those who wait until the 11th hour to worship God often die at 10:30?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. So that's the thing, because it's Krishna's time. So that's why we have to be aware. Because time in the spiritual world simply adds to rasa. But here it takes away your life. Right? That's the problem. Means when time seems very short, you're not happy. When time seems very long, you're not happy. But in the spiritual world, these things, all whatever it is, it's all connected to Krishna. So it all gives happiness. Right? All gives transcendental ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada adds, according to the moral instructions of the great politician Chanakya Pandit, Ayusha Kshana, kshana Eko Pi La Na Labdhya Svarna Koti Bihi Nachen Nirartakam Niti Kacha Hanish Tato Dika. Even a moment of one's lifetime could not be returned in exchange for millions of dollars. Therefore, one should consider how much loss one suffers if he wastes even a moment of his life for nothing. Living like an animal, not understanding the goal of life, one foolishly thinks that there is no eternity, and that his lifespan of 50, 60, or at most 100 years is everything. This is the greatest foolishness. Time is eternal, and in the material world, one passes through different phases of his eternal life. Time is compared herein to a sharp razor. A razor is meant to shave the hair from one's face, but if not carefully handled, the razor will cause disaster. If one is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime, one should be extremely careful to utilize the span of life for spiritual realization or Krishna consciousness. Right, so if you use your time properly, time is then working to your advantage. If you're not using it properly, then it simply is a disadvantage. Narad Muni had asked how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Haryasvas understood the meaning of his question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastra. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra, scripture, is the real father. Right? So, in other words, the Upanayanam is in connection with scripture. Right? That's the point, is that you're being initiated into studying the scriptures. Right? You're doing that under the spiritual master. Right? So their understanding is, oh, we're not consulting the scripture on this. Our father said, but what is actual the meaning? What is the scriptural reference of what he's talking about? What's the actual meaning of that?
Right.
Yes.
This Upanayanam initiation is mainly for Gurukul. Young
it's basically meant for anybody under a certain age who's going to the Gurukul system. Once you're above that age, then you have to get Upanayanam from the Pancharatra. See, is we don't have the qualifications for Vedic or Pancharatra. But by chanting, by the Bhagavat, we develop the ability in the Pancharatra. That then changes our condition to being able to function in the Vedic.
Yes.
Right? But when the children come in young, they can be trained in these things young, they can develop those qualities, then they get the Upanayanam at a young age.
Yes.
Right? But it's not a spiritual initiation. That's why it's called Upanayana, to bring near.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Bhagavat and Pancharatra, those are spiritual. Yes. But in the Vedic, they would just study the scriptures and hear. So in other words, the Upanayana is technically a siksha. It's not the Pancharatric Diksha aspect. It's simply for Siksha. The Pancharatra is also for Siksha, but it gives you the right for the deity worship. But the idea is that the relationship with the spiritual master is based on the instructions, so it works on the power of the Bhagavad. Right? The transcendental. Or you're learning the scriptures in the Vedic, you're learning material things, then you don't need the spiritual. Does that make sense? So Narad Muni has given us the Pancharatra, which then bridges between these two. Is that?
Dealing with character. It's a matter of.
It's a matter of character. Yeah, means because without the character, the Vedic things don't work. Chanting you can do whether you have character or not, but the Vedic without the character they don't function. Pancharatric, you have to have the qualifications approved by the spiritual master. Then one changes, so it doesn't matter what your past position is. Right? So the Vedic is depending upon what is your nature. And so, and by the material, you're not going to change that. So on the material platform, you don't have the qualifications, you won't get Upanayana. But by following the Bhagavat platform, then we develop the qualifications, then we can get. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced that the Vaishnavas wore the thread. Right? Because otherwise they would get the Pancharatric initiation, but they wouldn't get Upanayanam, they wouldn't wear the thread. The thread goes with Upanayanam, not with the Pancharatric Gayatris. Does that make sense? One takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra, scripture, is the real father. All the Shastras indicate that one should end his material way of life. One does not know the purpose of the father's orders. The Shastras, he is ignorant. For the words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instructions of the father. That's not the real instructions of scripture. That's why it's saying the actual point of this second birth is to understand the higher, because it's a Brahman initiation. Mm-hmm. So that means for understanding Brahman. If you only use it for karma conduct, right, it's not technically what it's for.
Yes.
But it's required to do those things properly. But those things, the activities of karma, are actually meant to elevate you to the transcendental platform.
Yes.
Yes.
Our Diksha initiation is under the Pancharatrik.
It's by the authority of the Pancharatrik that's what we're getting.
Yes.
So the Bhagavad doesn't require anything.
No, yes.
It's just a mutual acceptance. The Pancharatrik requires the initiation after one's qualified. But that qualification comes from chanting, from the Bhagavad. Right? And then you have the material qualifications, and the Vedic will work.
So the Vedic is technically a material qualification. Pancharatrik is a spiritual initiation?
Yes. It's just spiritual. Means the point of the Vedic is supposed to be used for spiritual,
but what it's
looking for is you have the material qualifications to surrender to Guru, accept authority, be clean, control the senses, you know, study scriptures, understand duties, have a service attitude, like that. When that's there, then that comes. So when you have those particular ornaments of the mind, then you can qualify and then take advantage of the Vedic scriptures. Right? Does that make sense? But the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra doesn't care for anything. See, the Pancharatra requires Purushacharya Vidhi. You have to perform certain activities before to become qualified. So even those we can't do, because those require Upanayanam. So the Vedic systems, you would get Upanayanam. Then from that, you would then do Purushacharya Vidhi, qualify for Pancharatra. Then you'd be engaged in the Bhagavat. That would be the standard procedure. All right? But we have to go the other way. Yes, because we just don't have that material qualification. You know. But the point is one gets there, and that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted the devotees to wear a thread so that others would recognize a minimum as Brahmins. Because Vaishnavas are the best of Brahmins. But at least they should minimally accept them as Brahmins. Because otherwise the tendency amongst the smart is there's Vaishnavas and then there's Brahmins. Vaishnavas are just the sentimental crew, and then there's the highly elevated Brahmins. But no, we're saying there's the highly elevated Brahmins, and then there's the Vaishnavas. They're higher than that. So the position of Brahman doesn't change between our view and the smartest view. What changes is the position of Vaishnava. Right? That's why we respect the Brahmins. But the Vaishnavas are higher than that.
There is a difference in that the smartest think that the body is the Brahman, right?
Technically, if you said it like that, they wouldn't take it that far. But in practical application, yes.
Yeah.
But if you discuss philosophically, no, they'll say the soul is that block.
Yeah.
But the point is they're going to say the soul is qualified when it takes birth in this particular body.
Yes.
Right? So the soul has to have the qualification. So that the symptom of that is taking birth in that body. Well, actually, the Vedic system is not by birth. Birth is a good indication.
And usually it goes like that.
Usually it goes like that, but it's not fully. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse explains, you do not know the order of your father. The father is not the person who impregnates, but the scriptures. Right? Because the point is the impregnation only creates the body. Who creates the soul? Right? And so then the scriptures are for the soul, so that the soul knows how to use the body. Since the soul is embodied, how to use that body. That's what it's for. So, yes, respect is given for the person who impregnates, but even more is given for the scriptures. That's why Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Mm-hmm. That's the highest authority.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And then parents, then they follow that authority, so then that brings everything in line, so then there's no problem. But here, then there's a slight problem.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, conflict of interest, yes. Yes, conflict of interest, yes. So therefore, yes, Narad Muni brings this up. That order of the Father is to stop material existence, not to continue it. Right. So the point is you're going to engage yourself in your and your conditioning in such a way, according to the authorized recommendations of Scripture, so that you are engaged in the Lord's service, so that you get yourself out of the material existence. Now, if due to one's conditioning and that grihastha life is required, then one enters grihastha life. If it's not required, one doesn't. Right? So it's not about the majority, right? Because otherwise, if it's about the majority, well, most people become grihastha, so just make it a blanket rule. Then by that, yes, most souls take birth in a family according to their nature. So then make a blanket rule there. So the Vedic is, it's about the soul. So if the soul fits that, then naturally it just goes that way. But if it doesn't, it's categorized according to what the level of consciousness is. So if there's the nature to remain in the Brahmacharya, then that's what they should do to go back to Godhead. But if the desire is there that being a grihastha would be the best for engaging that, and that way go back to Godhead, you do that. Though, that's what most will do. But the point is it's about what's the best situation for the soul, not what's the social consideration, what's all this, that, blah, and so on, and so forth.
If the soul fits.
If the soul fits. Yes. 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 Are you writing down all your new t-shirts?
I'm thinking of setting up small business.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
That's all that's in here.
Oh, really? Really? All this time you think,
yeah. Oh, wow, that's
he's really serious. T-shirts.
Yeah. Okay. If you do not know this instruction to stop material existence, to stop material life, how can you commence to follow its instructions? Right? Because if we're going to go through the activities grihastha life or social systems, but if you don't know that it's for stopping material life, then how is that going to help? Right? You have to know that. Then one's approach to grihastha life, the mood is very different. It doesn't change the activities. In fact, we'll say that the activities will actually improve, the experience will improve, but it has to be, it is not for sense enjoyment, because as soon as it's for sense enjoyment, then the benefits are less. And when it's for devotional service, then the benefits are more. Right? Because when Krishna is pleased, then the results are greater. But if we do it for the greater results, then that's like daksha, which is bhakti misra karma. So then you don't actually get, you get nice material results, but you don't get the spiritual results. But you'll just get what you put in. You know, a little bit more, because there's bhakti there.
So, you know, if we don't know that the other place is to go back to Godhead, we are like children.
Yes, then we're like children. That's why it says we're not mature.
That's the point to Rahul and all.
Yes.
You're immature.
And here's the big king.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so then there's us.
Yeah. And then there's us. We're just crawling out from under a rock. No, we haven't even gotten to the point of, you know, standing upright yet.
No.
I say, Homo slitheris. Right, you know, haven't even gotten out of that, you know. We were still waiting for the legs, yeah.
Yes. Flat.
Yes. You have faith in the instructions to follow the path of material enjoyment. guna vishrambhi. You should follow the real order of scripture, your father, the path of renunciation. Mm-hmm. Right? Because as we were saying, devotees, even their grihasthas, there is pravritti within nivritti. So it's nishkam karma yoga. It's just using areas of karma that are broadened that include the grihastha ashram. Mm-hmm. Well, the brahmacharis don't use those. So they only use it's nivritti and nivritti, and the grihasthas use pravritti for the purpose of nivritti. So the point is, whether it's pravritti or nivritti, it's all used for nivritti. That's the whole point. You do not incur sin by not following the instructions of Daksha, which are not according to the purport of the scriptures, since he is not a real father. Right? His real father will save you from death. Right? Therefore, taking Vishnu mantra from me, sitting in a quiet place, worship Vishnu. This is the indication. Right? So that's the idea. So that's why you see is that the first generation devotees, then if their parents are supportive of Krishna consciousness, great. If they're not, you technically don't have to really deal with them. You know, other than basic social this and that, but as long as that even still will work with Krishna consciousness. But if it's going to be a trouble for Krishna consciousness, there's no obligation. Because if you go back to Godhead, they'll benefit anyway. Just, you know, it'll take a little longer. That's the greatest service. Now, if they're supportive, then you do. But now we see the second generation, the parents are devotees. Therefore, then there's more consideration of the parents. Yeah. Right? So then they're part of the scene, naturally. Yeah. Does that make sense? But for when the parents are not devotees, then it's just if they're supportive, nice. You know, if they're friendly, peaceful, they respect your position, nice. If not, don't. Like you remember when parents are saying, you know, when we take the grandchildren over to see the grandmother, then when we're not around, we go out for something, then they feed them non-vegetarian stuff because they think they're going to die otherwise. And so I said, well, then you just tell them that, you know, if you want to see the grandchild, these are the rules. Because they're the parents, not the grandparents. The grandparents are not the parents. They're not responsible. It's the duty of the parents. So if they don't follow the rules of the parent, then hey, hasta la vista. You know? And we're not even going to use the baby part, right?
We won't be back.
Yeah, and we will not be back. And you generally see things work out pretty well then. Yes. Somehow or another, when it's just you, no leverage. But when there's grandchildren, then so much leverage. I told one devotee, he said, oh, his parents don't have anything to do. He's become a devotee and this and that. They don't want to have nothing to do. And I says, oh, when you have children, then they'll be interested. He said, no, forget it. That's not happening. Sure enough. Yeah. You know, when the grandchildren are there, he said, oh, hey, since you're in England, why don't you drop by? So. Srila Prabhupada adds, Bhagavad Gita 16:7 says, pravritim cha nivritim cha jana na vidhur asuraha. Demons, who are less than human beings but are not called animals, do not know the meaning of pravritti and nivritti, work to be done and work not to be done. In the material world, every living entity has a desire to lord it over the material world as much as possible. This is called the pravritti marg. All the Shastras, however, advise Nivritti Marg, or release from the materialist way of life. So when Prabhupada says all Shastras, that means all Shastras. They're all meant for that. Maybe we don't see how it's like that, but then that means we're not studied enough. But those who know, because here Narad Muni, who is known as knowing all the Shastras, right? What was that name? The title? Anuchana. Anuchana. So he knows all the scriptures. He understands how there's no contradiction. So that means the Paravidya is all talking about devotional service to Bhagavan. And then how the aspects of Brahman and Paramatma are parts of the Lord. But it also means all the Aparavidya, all the general Vedic knowledge is all meant for supporting that lifestyle in devotional service. It's not meant for otherwise. So therefore, Karmakanda is for Karmakandis. For the devotees, they don't see Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. Right? In other words, they don't do anything unless it's connected to bhakti. So So then they can distinguish what is just for material benefit and what is then engaging in the Lord's service. Right? Is that? Apart from the Shastras of the Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point. For example, in the Buddha Shastras, Lord Buddha advises that one achieve nirvana by giving up the materialist way of life. In the Bible, which is also Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra, one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. One should give up his materialistic life and return to his original spiritual life. Because right? It's never recommended you just absorb yourself in the day-to-day material things and not think of the Lord. Right? So that's the point. All the scriptures will all say that. But the point is if in the Vedic, which has so much detail and people completely miss the point, let alone in other scriptures of the world where there's less detail and less emphasis, and that they miss the total point. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Shankaracharya also propounds the same conclusion. Brahma Satya, Satyam Jagan Mitya. This material world or materialistic life is simply illusion, and therefore one should stop this illusory activities and come to the platform of Brahman. Right? So here's meaning the materialistic life, that's what's illusion. Right? Or the material world means seeing the creation of the Lord as something for me to enjoy. That's what he's meaning. His followers take it that whatever you can see, perceive, or the senses doesn't exist. That that's their illusion. Right? You know, but Shankara is meaning materialistic life, that's what we're giving up. Right? In regard to the instructions of the father and mother, it may be said that every living entity, including even the insignificant cats, dogs, and serpents, takes birth of a father and mother. Therefore, getting a material father and mother is not a problem. In every form of life, birth after birth, the living entity gets a father and mother. In human society, however, if one is satisfied with his material father and mother and their instructions and does not make further progress by accepting a spiritual master and being educated in the Shastras, he certainly remains in darkness, right? Because you can say, but the father and mother can give everything. But the point is there's going to be that problem of possession, which then the teacher doesn't have. So they're able to deal with points that won't be done otherwise. So that's why it goes together. That's why the Shastras is mother, father, and teacher. Right? That's the whole point. These three go together. Does that make sense? Yeah. And if nothing else, if you were born from a coconut tree, then at least you have teacher.
Yes.
And you be respectful to coconut trees. You know, you don't chop down coconut trees to make a living. Right?
Yes.
Like that. Yes. The material father and mother are important only if they are interested in educating the son to become free from the clutches of death. A parent who does not know how to save his son has no value because such fathers and mothers may be had in any form of life, even among the cats, dogs, and so on. Right, so that's not special that one has a mother and father, because every living entity has a mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But to have a mother and father that's interested in training one in spiritual life, now that's a value.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if even this life something doesn't work out, you'll get another set next life. Don't worry. that's guaranteed.
That's
sorry?
I'm your father, mother, and he says, which one? Narad Muni?
Oh, you're not talking about Vader.
Huh?
You're not talking about Vader.
Vader, oh, I am your father.
No. That was Chitraketu.
Chitraketu, okay.
In Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
But also I think Srivas Thakur's son might have done the same thing.
Oh, yes.
Did the same thing, but it's stand. But the big story that you know the original story there in the Bhagavad Gita, Chitraketu. It's kind of like, which one? I've had so many.
Exactly,
so
yeah,
which
exactly,
ones
yeah.
are you? And you are... yeah. So, you know, that because the point is you think, you know, this is it. This is, I'm the mother, father.
Exactly.
This is the child. This is my parents.
This is my thing.
But the thing is that next life, there's someone else. Life before it was someone else. And it's not, you know, we're thinking that, you know, the souls go on like that, but no, they keep changing and this and that. That's why the example is given of straws coming together in the river.
Yes.
And they sit there and twirl in the like that, and then something happens, and then they go off.
That's it.
You know? And sometimes this one stays next to here, and some one goes that side of the river. This one stays in the, you know, the whirlpool. That one goes off in the current. So it's that's actually the point. It's just there's something common in consciousness, therefore they're put together this life. But as everybody's consciousness is changing, then next lifetime they'll all go in different directions. So that's why then on that platform, if it's about Krishna consciousness, then it's good, and if it's not, then you don't worry about it.
This is what Yoko Ono didn't appreciate. The Prabhupada told she wanted to be with John Lennon forever. Prabhupada said that's not going to happen.
That the soulmate stuff.
And then she yanked him out.
What to do? And then someone shot him.
Yeah. Was that related?
No, no, we're not saying that's related. But I'm just saying it didn't work out so good. You know, she's still here and he's gone. Right?
Yeah,
you know, so.
She's having a good time.
He's
out there.
So she's got. Cool. She's cool. So therefore, so much for the soulmates, right?
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. The Krishna conscious movement is teaching this higher knowledge of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead, but unfortunately, many parents are not very satisfied with this movement. Aside from the parents of our students, many businessmen are also dissatisfied because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling. Right? A lot of money is made off of these. You know? If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Therefore, they are very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. There again, why we can't be worried about the popular opinion.
Yes.
We present as nicely as we can to those who are interested.
Yes.
But we can't be worried that people aren't going to like what we do. Because no matter what you're doing in life, someone's not going to like it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narad Muni therefore advised the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of Shastra. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they were inclined towards the lifestyle of a Paramahamsa. They weren't thinking, wow, it'll be so great when all our austerities are over, we'll be able to have family and, you know, millions of kids and like that. They weren't thinking like that. They were thinking that it's so nice just sitting, meditating, doing all this sadhana. Right. So that's the difference. If they had had the inclination like Daksha, then he never would have dealt like this. He would tell them how to be Krishna conscious. Right? Is he telling Yudhishthira to be renounced? Right? You know, in fact, he actually came and told after they got married, you should work out some rules between all of you. You know, five guys, one wife, you know, some rules should be there. Yeah.
However, we see that Narad Muni, he preached to Priya Brahmana the same exact thing.
Yes, but he applied it within Grihastha life.
It appears, at least to me, that he wanted him to be renounced. Then Brahma and
because that's his inclination. But so because Brahma and Manu, he's required to do that, he gave his approval. But then we can see how it was described. He applied those teachings within, so he actually satisfied both.
Yeah.
He functioned as a Paramahamsa within the Grihastha ashram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here you have an example of that with Priyavrata, and then you have the Haryashvas of Paramahamsas in Brahmacharya ashram.
Right.
Right. So it works. The point is that the Paramahamsa position works anywhere. Right? You know, we're, you know, it's going to be agreed at work since sannyas, right? You know, so, and so if, you know, so if it can work in grihastha, why can't it work in vanaprast? So we just have to, we just need these examples and it's done. So that's the point. Functioning as a paramahamsa is what the scriptures recommend. And so then, whatever, however one's comfortable to situate yourself to do that, then that's what we do. Is that, yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Is it a
new relationship?
Is it a new relationship? Why do you say new? But in the spiritual world, how interested were we in spiritual life? We weren't, so we didn't have a spiritual master. If we had become serious about spiritual life, then we would have had a spiritual master. That's why we would have moved forward to prema. But because we weren't interested in spiritual life, and you can't remain as neutral because you have to choose. It's spiritual and material. You know, how you say it's like Murari Gupta was explaining how in his, you know, he went to these prep schools, you know, for the British aristocracy. So, you know, that, you know, they're very straightforward. So then, you know, the teacher's teaching class and the boys in the back of the room are, you know, talking and, you know, like that, and they're not supposed to be. So then he stops the class, tells the three boys to stand up. So he asks the first one, "Were you talking?" "No, sir." He tells, asks the next one, "Were you talking?" "No, sir." So then he doesn't ask the third one because the talking came from those three. So it wasn't those two. So then the third one says, "You report down to the principal's office." Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It means if you don't choose the spiritual, then the only other choice is material. It's not like, you know, we can choose spiritual or, you know, we can take, you know, a banana milkshake or an ice cream sundae or I'll take a pizza. Or, you know, no, it's you got spiritual or material. Then it's eternal. Because it's functioning on this eternal platform. Does that make sense? Yes.
This choosing is going on like
eternity.
Whenever we are there, we always have
to choose. You're in the fire. You've already made the choice.
Yeah. And then when we go back home.
No, but we were talking before when we were there before coming here.
But I'm a Buddhist.
Yes, but you either have to choose spiritual and material.
So that's the only place that we have to choose.
Here we have to choose also.
Here, that's. Yeah, but there, when we get there, we don't have to choose anymore.
When you're there, you've already chosen.
And when we're here, we also already chosen.
But this is the wrong choice. In other words, there's the natural choice, and then there's the wrong choice. But you have to choose.
So this one we can correct, and when we get there, there's no more choice.
Yeah, because you won't. It's like you stick your finger in the fire. Are you going to do it again? Means, but knowingly, are you going to do it? No. So therefore, you won't do it. That's why it said, once going back, you'll never return. Because now you know what the material world is. You looked across, you know, from the spiritual side to the material side, and thought, hey, that looks good. Now you're not going to look. You know, and even if you do, you'll say, been there, done that, and then you know.
Been deer done that.
Huh?
Been deer done that.
Yes, been deer done that. Yes. Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's the choice. We have that choice. So that's the point, is because we didn't take up spiritual, we never had.
Then the next point would be, okay, we chose the spiritual life in this life.
Yes.
We did our choice.
Yes.
We took the spiritual master, every single one gone.
Yes.
Then something went.
But it still doesn't mean that connection's not there.
So here we have kind unlimited opportunities to have our choices and not only one.
You're making it sound like a bad thing. Okay. Let us just put this in perspective. We have one choice is sit down here for a nice dinner with friends and have a good time. Or the other is you have 1,000 choices within, or any combination you want, within the, you know, Chinese, you know, 1,000 knife cuts. But it's such a wide range. And this other is just one choice, just dinner with friends. It's like, where's the variety? Where's the... So the right choice is the good choice, and the wrong choice, even though it has unlimited variety, is still the wrong choice.
Yeah. When you put it like that.
How else did you want?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. The heart, and we finished that page, huh? No, we didn't. Okay. Narad Muni therefore advised the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of Shastra. Right? The real father. Like that. That's why you see Prabhupada also, I think he mentions that about in the invocation. He talks about his father and that was a pure devotee and that, and then he talks about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the real father. Yeah, and his father was a pure devotee who engaged in pure devotional service. Like, you know, when he's just big enough to walk around, he's doing Ratha Yatra, right? You know, so I don't remember that one with my dad, right? Didn't come up. Right? Yeah, no. And then, you know, watching his father doing puja and then like that. Yeah, inviting the sadhus. I somehow or another missed out on that. I wasn't paying attention or something. I don't know. I've really been ignorant that I missed that. Yes?
It's interesting, in Srila Prabhupada's passport that he came to America,
yes,
it's written, name of the father, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta
Saraswati. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it says distinguishing marks, you know, it means like tattoos or... three heads, or you know, something like that. You know, then it says Vaishnav Tila. Oh, yeah. So. No, it's very far out. Right? Yeah. Verses 21-33. In verses 21-33, Prajapati Daksha, becoming saddened after hearing of his son's decision to accept the order of sannyas, begot 1,000 more sons known as the Savalashvats, who were also sent to engage in austerities in order to become progenitors of the world. Right, so he's pious, he wants to do it right, because how are you going to have 10,000 sons unless you've done austerities? Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's by the elevation of consciousness he's able to do that by his consciousness. Yes.
Cycle. He got the first ones, 13,000. Now the austerity merit goes down.
Till at the end, why is it only a head with 2 feet? Couldn't there have at least been some hands?
At the end, he got all the girls.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, he wanted that. And then the retort, but he wanted that. Yeah, so technically only the daughters didn't disappoint.
Because
he knows that Narad Muni won't come and preach to them. That it may be also just that, you know, you have 10,000, that doesn't work, so then you try a little smaller group to see how this is going to work out, you know.
Test some things.
Huh?
Test some things.
Yes. Okay. He begot 1,000 more sons known as the Savalashvas, who were also sent to engage in austerities in order to become progenitors of the world. When Narayan Muni saw that these boys had a similar mood to the Haryashvas, he advised them to follow in the footsteps of their older brothers, and they too accepted a renounced order of life. So he saw they had the same mood. You know, so they were gentle, they accepted authority, so they had the culture and everything, they could behave, follow everything nicely. They had good sadhana, they were inclined towards that life of sadhana. So therefore he advised. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in the instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated the great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world." 21. Srila Prabhupada comments, "From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, 'Take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in materialistic life.'" End quote. This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life, and the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narad Muni, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Haryashvas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population, but because of the words of Narad Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narad Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the Shastric injunctions that they should give up this material world, and as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. So it's not that he has a problem with family life. He has a problem with non-progressive devotional family life. Right? You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if he's non-devotional, non-progressive, then what's the point? Right? Does that make sense? Because he can instruct anyway. He's instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj on Varnashram. So that's not, he doesn't have this problem. Let's see if this turns into something. It's not so dark yet, but could get interesting.
Yes.
Sukadeva Goswami continued. Okay, so therefore they weren't considering pious and impious, they were considering what is actually real piety or transcendence. So piety and impiety of this material world is technically impious, and spiritual, that's considered actual pious. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The seven musical notes, sari, gama, pa, dha, ni, are used in musical instruments, but originally come from the Samaveda. The great sage Narada vibrates sounds describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. By such transcendental vibrations, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he fixes his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he directly perceives Hrishikesha, the master of the senses." Right, so Hrishikesha is then classified within the Prayojana.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Tilak, the first three are Vasudeva, the next three Sankarshan, the next thing Prajumna, and the next three Aniruddha. Right? This is given, I think, by Sridhar Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then Hrishikesh then is the Prayojana Adideva. Right? First, yeah, because Vasudeva, yes, Shankarsha, yes. Prajumna.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So then within that, then you have some, you know, Madan Mohan Govinda and Gopinath,
mm-hmm,
within each of those groups. You know, the attractive aspect, the knowledge aspect, the activity aspect, the result aspect.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So like that gives you something more to think about when you put on your tea light.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. After delivering the Haryashvas, Narad Muni continued traveling throughout the planetary systems. right? So the Sarigama, these come from the Samaveda. He's always vibrating transcendental music. Right? So that means it's based on the Samaveda. Samaveda is about glorifying the Lord. So that's why he's also then, because it's about the Prayojana. Right? So then he is then explaining this about attaining that love for God. Right? So then therefore it's natural, the Samaveda and music is natural for him as a medium of his expression.
Right?
Yes, developing, it means that's the whole point. But he uses Pancharatra and Naishkarmya as the mediums. So now if someone's interested in Naishkarmya, you know, in the renounced orders, then he'll encourage that. But if it's within Grihastha life, then that's fine. But the point is it still needs to be Naishkarmya. That you're doing the activity to please the Lord, not yourself. After delivering the Haryashvas, Narad Muni continued traveling throughout the planetary systems, his mind always fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. 22. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada paraphrases a song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about Narad Muni and comments as follows. Lord Brahma is the guru of Narad Muni, who is the guru of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is the guru of Madhvacharya. Thus the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya is in the disciplic succession from Narad Muni. The members of this disciplic succession, in other words, the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, should follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni by chanting the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They should go everywhere to deliver the fallen souls by vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can spiritually advance if one actually follows the instructions of Narad Muni. If one pleases Narad Muni, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hrishikesha, is also pleased. Right? Then we'll be able to engage everything in his service. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadah. The immediate spiritual master is the representative of Narad Muni. There is no difference between the instructions of Narad Muni and those of the present spiritual master. Both Narad Muni and the present spiritual master speak the same teachings of Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65-66, Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskaru mam evaishasi satyam te paratijane priyosime sarvadharmam parityajyak mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masichaha. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Right? So, because so is this Krishna's dear friend. So as we saw before, that dear friend meant that advanced stage of just seeing everything connected to Krishna, always working for Krishna's pleasure. Right? So always that everything's engaged in the Lord's service. Right? Thinking of Krishna, worshipping Krishna, offering your prayers and that to Krishna, then you're always going to be in a good position. Right? So, yes. And then, abandoning all varieties of religion means that anything that's other than Krishna consciousness, does that make sense? Yeah. Means, what is, you have the nature of something. That's its religion. So now, if you're just following that religion, that's pious. But what's the point? Why would we follow it? Yes, to be Krishna conscious. The materialist will follow it to get the material benefit. So it's not about the religion to get the benefit, it's about serving Krishna. We engage the religion in Krishna's service, but it's not about practicing the religion and giving the results to Krishna. It's about serving Krishna and engaging the religion in his service. That's the difference. So therefore, you only have to engage those things that keep you busy in Krishna's service. You need more, you do more. You need less, you do less. It's not like in the materialist that he has to follow a certain range, no matter what. He's Grihasthi, has so much range of things he has to do. But for the devotees, they don't have that wide range. They only have as much within Grihastha ashram that they need to follow to keep themselves engaged. Right? So that's the difference. That's why do not fear. Because you say, oh, if I don't do this, if I don't do that. Sukadev Goswami continued. The Haryashvas, the sons of Pradapati Daksha, were very well behaved, cultured sons, but unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narad Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narad Muni, yo, you know, your sons are sent out there to do austerities and that, so they can become nice Prajapatis. Yeah, yeah. Are they doing that? Yeah, they're doing great. They're doing fabulous out there and all that. But a little change. I spoke to them a bit about the duties, and they decided to stay out there. Nah, coming back.
Really great, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that fabulous?
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's unfortunately because we see is that it's going to turn into some trouble here. Yes, from Daksha's point of view, it definitely was. Because this is the story about Daksha. You know what I'm saying? Daksha, and then we're talking about his sons and that, so it just happens to be his sons that. But this is a story about Daksha, so from his perspective, it is lamentable.
He has a hard time.
Yes, he does. Yeah, every story he's in, there's generally always a hard time.
But now he sends his boy in a nice mood to go to, and that they never see after. He never see after that. After that, they didn't know.
No, because they took sannyas.
Sannyas.
Yeah, they didn't just go to Gurukul and come back. No.
Yeah.
They just took sannyas. Yeah, so that was it. That's why it says take the path so that one doesn't return on that. So that means sannyas.
Yeah.
So you don't follow the material, you know, social duties. Okay, when Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narad Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all. Certainly this was lamentable, right? Because he would feel very bad. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Haryasvas, the sons of Pradapati Daksha, were certainly well behaved, learned, and advanced. And in accordance with the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons for their family. But Narad Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with this material world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Haryasvas abided by the order of Narad Muni, but when the news of this was brought to Pradapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the actions of Narad Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Right? He should have been. So that's the lamentable part and the unfortunate part. He's, you know, it's lamentable that he took it wrong way, and it's unfortunate, you know. Similarly, we are trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna conscious movement for their ultimate benefit. But the parents of the young men joining this movement, being very sorry, are lamenting and making counter-propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narad Muni. But later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narad for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. A materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions and rotting in materialistic life. Yes, yes. Yes. All my, how you say, children and grandchildren are nicely composted in material existence. Like that. Yes. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled, useless citizens, but they lament when they join the Krishna conscious movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life, right? Spoiled, useless citizens. They became hippies. They do nothing. They don't benefit themselves. They don't benefit society. Nothing for the economy. They don't learn anything. You know, they got a 25-word vocabulary, you know.
And one of them is groovy.
Groovy. That's quite a few of them, you know. Yeah, groovy, you know. But groovy, you know. Yeah, groovy, you know. The 25 words gets extended, you know. Just like a dog barking, it means so many things.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sanskrit. So
yeah, I guess so. By all the subtleties, right? You know,
the context,
the long and short syllables, and yeah, like that. Yeah, yes, nice comparison.
I was speaking with Mahatma before, and we were talking about how this political correctness is sometimes a little too all-pervading in our movement. And he said, if you want to have some fun, try taking a Prabhupada class and giving that class, see how people freak out. Because Prabhupada is not politically correct at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Prabhupada, he didn't get away with it. But
yeah, then anybody else does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, then the temple president afterwards comes and says,
yeah.
Well, you know, Maharaj.
Yes,
rotting away. But you have to blend in. So it's not just rotting, you're composting.
Yes.
You know, that blend.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes. Observation.
Yes, so they're not worried that their sons became hippies, but when they join Krishna consciousness, now they're worried. Because at least, okay, they're not doing materially the way I am, but at least they're materialistic. But when they're not materialistic like me and they're spiritual, that's a problem. This animosity between parents and the Krishna conscious movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narad Muni was condemned, not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narad Muni never gives up his mission.
Of course.
Yeah, it is. It's what to do. It's just the way it is. That's what he means. That's just how material world is. It's people due to ignorance, attachment, they don't actually see what's going on, so they get distracted. And so even though you're trying to do some, that's why he says, even though he's doing something benevolent, still he gets upset. You know, they deal as if you're doing something very bad. You know, so it's there on all these levels. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Prajapati Daksha was lamenting for his lost children, Lord Brahma pacified him with instructions. And thereafter, Daksha begot 1,000 more children in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. This time, his sons were known as the Savalashvas. Footnote 20. Srila Prabhupada comments, Prajapati Daksha was so named because he was very expert in begetting children. The word Daksha means expert. First, he begot 10,000 children in the womb of his wife. And when the children were lost, when they returned home, back to Godhead, he begot another set of children known as the Savalashvas. Prajapati Daksha is very expert in begetting children. And Narad Muni is very expert in delivering all the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the materialistic experts do not agree with the spiritual expert, Narad Muni. But this does not mean that Narad Muni will give up his engagement of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Right, so if there's an opportunity to preach, you take it. But if not, you'll continue the spiritual yourself. But otherwise, it's a good combination, right? Means Daksha produces the children,
yes.
And Narad Muni sends them back to Godhead, right? You know, so it works out quite well. But, you know, it doesn't. It's not appreciated all around. That's the
wife's pretty far off, too. Giving birth to all the children.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to have a problem.
No.
Yes, that's not good. In accordance with their father's order, to beget children, the second group of sons also went to Narayana Saras, the same place where the brothers had previously attained perfection by following the instruction of Narada. Undertaking great vows of austerity, the Savalashvas remained at that holy place. Srila Prabhupada, yes. Narad Muni can travel anywhere in the universe. That's not where you send him. So that's a good spot. So then I think it was just judged that would be the best spot to go to perform their austerities. So then, it's just like, let's say, the person, there grows up, sends his child to Harvard University, and then the devotees come, preach, he becomes a devotee. But does that mean he won't send his next son to Harvard? He's just hoping that devotees somehow or another, missed the turn and ended up at Yale or something, so.
Banned from the campus.
Yeah. He did not hesitate to send a second group of sons to the same place, although they too might become victims of Narada's instructions. According to the Vedic culture, one should be trained in spiritual understanding as a brahmachari before entering household life to beget children. This is the Vedic system. Thus, Prajapati Daksha sent a second group of sons for cultural improvement. Despite the risk that because of the instructions of Narada, they might become as intelligent as their older brothers. Right? You go for education, and then they become intelligent, and then he becomes upset. Right?
Too much.
So the point is that unless they're good brahmacharis, how are they going to be good grihasthas? So that has to be followed. But the problem is, becoming good brahmacharis, they might decide to remain brahmacharis. That's the thing. They might. You know, generally, we, you know, it's not, most you see is not necessarily, but the point is they might. But the risk is important, because without that, without training in brahmacharya, they won't. So saying, okay, we won't train them in brahmacharya so that they'll become grihasthas, then what kind of grihastha you get? What kind of children you get? So therefore, what's the point? So that risk has to be taken. As a dutiful father, he did not hesitate to allow his sons to receive cultural instructions concerning the perfection of life. Because that's what you're going to get, is the cultural instructions. Because the main point of culture is to go back to Godhead. And the second point is that you, how you behave in Krishna consciousness. In the process, there is a culture in behaving within Krishna consciousness. So that's what's learned in the school. The modern academy doesn't do that. There's no time. Right? It means if you look at it, how long can you go to school in the modern academy? 6 hours, 7 hours? No, I'm saying that's in the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's all you're in the school.
Yeah.
You go 9 to 3, 9 to 4, 8:30 to 3:30, something like that, depending upon the country and, you know, whatever it is. But basically that's what you go. And in that there's lunch, there's recesses, you know, there's some physical education, because you can't just poke your nose in a book all day. And that's as much as they can do.
Yes.
Right? Then you have the homework. And because it is just the skills and mundane education, you're not dealing with the character and all that, you need time to, you know, as a focus, you need time to relax from that.
Yes. Yes.
So they need 2-3 hours of playing.
Yes. Yes.
Right? You know, the parents are home by 6 o'clock, so the kid has to be home by 6 o'clock. So if school's out at 3, that gives them 3 hours. You understand? Then they're going to call, then they're going to do the homework. Where's the time for spiritual instruction? That's the problem with the modern educational system. It's not designed for cultural instruction. And if there is some cultural instruction, it's an alternative school. It's an actual, totally alternative school. Right? Does that make sense?
The statistics are way better than the traditional. It remains an alternative.
Yeah, it remains alternative. You know, so you have those. But their cultural instructions are still material. Right? The Vedic system is, no, you're training them in the culture of spiritual life, so naturally that culture can be used in material life. If I learn humility in spiritual life, I can also use that materially, that humility in my day-to-day ordinary activities. But if I only learn humility in day-to-day ordinary activities, doesn't mean I can use it in spiritual life. Does that make sense? So therefore the Gurukul system. That's why then that Prajapati Daksha understands that and sends the children. Is that? Yeah? Okay. Okay, he did not hesitate to allow his sons to receive cultural instructions concerning the perfection of life. He depended upon them to choose whether to return home back to Godhead or to rot in this material world in various species of life. You know, it's up to them.
Yeah.
You want to rot here? You want to go back to Godhead? Yeah. In all circumstances, the duty of the father is to give cultural education to his sons, who must later decide which way to go. Responsible fathers should not hinder their sons who are making cultural advancement in association with the Krishna consciousness movement. This is not a father's duty, right? That means the father doesn't do that. His duty is to see his son is trained in this way. His duty is not to get in the way of that training. Right? The duty of the father is to give his son complete freedom to make his choice after becoming spiritually advanced by following the instructions of the spiritual master. So they'll be trained. They give the foundation. Right? Because the children just pick that up just by association. What you do is what they do. How you talk is how they talk. How you emote is how they emote.
do what you do, not what you say.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you see it, wow. Then you'll see the kid will go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it works. No? Yeah, it's just the way it is. So they pick all that up. So that's the time for the parents to put in. Like that. Some understand that, put in the effort then. Many don't. They have the kids, and then after the little immediate, you know, things, once they're a little bit this, then they go back to being the pure devotee. And then when they go to Gurukul and stuff, oh, what is my time? What about, you know? No, you had your time. And then it's the teacher's time. Then you get your time again. You know, unless they take sannyas. But, you know, but nowadays, I think you have to be 40 minimum before you can apply for sannyas. So, huh? Oh, I see. You can apply earlier, but you can't get it before 50. Okay.
You can get it, but it's 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, so on the when do you want? Today? You want to wait till tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah. It's 10:50 around 6 minutes.
Yeah. No, they probably say 64.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's be careful of that 50 rounds.
Oh, yeah, that's
64 is good. 64. That's the point. So that's the thing. You know, he's giving his sons full freedom to choose whether they're going to be chanting 50 rounds or 64.
Yeah.
That's very disappointing when they choose 64.
Yeah, yeah. Or 16 in preaching. You know, but, hey, what happened? Yeah. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, at Narayana Saras, the second group of sons perform penances in the same way as the first. They bathed in the holy water, and by its touch, all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras beginning with Omkar and underwent a severe course of austerities. For a few months, the sons of Prajapati Daksha drank only water and ate only air. Thus, undergoing great austerities, they recited this mantra. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in his transcendental abode. Since he is the Supreme Person, Paramahamsa, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Right, so then that would answer the question why Narayana Saras, because their mantra that they're... So the father would have given this is by his chanting the Kamsa Guhya prayers, he got the grace of Narayana. So now he's given the same mantra to his sons. Srila Prabhupada comments. From these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Maha Mantra or the Vedic mantras must be accompanied by severe austerities. In Kali Yuga, people cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned herein, drinking only water and eating only air for many months. Like that. It'd probably be big as a diet, right? You know?
Yeah.
The Narayana Saras diet, right? You know? Yeah. One cannot imitate such a process, but at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Anyone can easily practice this tapasya, and then the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. Right, so performance of duties, that's austerity. So then that performance of duties means there's things to do, things not to do. So the things not to do are breaking these principles. The things to do is chant Hare Krishna. So that's the main duty of Sanatan Dharma. Then after that, then you situate yourself according to Varna or Ashram and keep yourself busy. Right?
Keep yourself busy.
That's all it's for. It's how body, mind, and words will be connected. It's just like this. Can a businessman think of business all day?
Yes.
Can he think of different ways to make money? He's walking down the road. He sees something. It sparks something.
Yes.
Right? That's body, mind, and words. Now, he connects that to the Lord. Bingo. So that's why someone should do their duty according to their nature. Does that make sense? So, because if you do something else, or if you mix it up, they're incompatible. Right? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. O King Parikit, Narad Muni approached these sons of Pradapati Daksha, who were engaged in tapasya to beget children, and spoke enigmatic words to them just as he had spoken to their elder brothers. O sons of Daksha, please hear my words of instruction attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brothers, the Haryashvas. Therefore, you should follow their path. A brother, aware of the principles of religion, follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Pradapati Daksha, Narad Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers. Not attempting to produce children, they engaged themselves in Krishna consciousness. The Savalashvas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned even until now. Right? The knight goes to the west and you don't see it again.
Yes.
Right?
That's,
like that, yes. Yeah. So even until now, they haven't come back. So that means that they possibly could still be around. But the point is, they haven't been seen. You know, so this is the original, and they you know, walked off into the sunset, right? You know, rode off into the sunset, you know, because that's into the west, never to be seen again, right? So all nothing's new, right? You know.
I never understood that. Right into the sunset, then the sun sets, and then you have to camp out just outside town. Why didn't you just wait until next day and then?
Doesn't have the same set, same effect. You ride off through the sunset, and everyone can get all nostalgic and feel, it's important.
Yeah. Yes.
There are rules to Hollywood. You have to, you know, there's some sacrosanctity has to be maintained.
Yeah,
yeah, come on. Quit being atheistic. Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, having taken to the proper Sadrichinam, path of bhakti, Anupatam, the favorable path of the Lord, for attaining internal realization, they did not return. Like the passing of night, Paschima Yamini. Verses 34-44. Daksha curses Narad Muni. In verses 34 to 44, Daksha became very angry when hearing the news of the untimely, quote-unquote, renunciation of his second set of sons due to Narad Muni's intervention. Thus he insulted Narada, claiming that although he dresses as a holy man, he is merely a pretender. Right? In other words, he's using the authority of the Karmakanda to a step back, saying that and that he's going against that. Which technically he is, like that. But the point is that Karmakanda is not the highest principle. Higher than that is jnana, higher than that is bhakti. Like that. Daksha declared that since Narad Muni obstructed his son's destinies, he was committing violence upon the entire world and has therefore sullied the good name of his master, Lord Vishnu. Right, so now even Vishnu gets tossed into it again, right? You know, professing that he himself was more of a sadhu than Narad Muni, Daksha then cursed that great sage that he would no longer be able to stay in one place. Narad Muni, although fully capable of counteracting this curse, graciously accepted it and tolerated the insults delivered by Daksha. Right? It means 11,000 people go back to Godhead, it's worth a few insults. So, what's the big deal? But not if you could say that 11,000 people you sent back to God, we would probably say if one goes, it's worthwhile. You know, so 11,000, not bad.
Parent comes and gets fried out.
Yes, yeah, and only only one parent. You know. Sukadeva Goswami continued. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, right? Because he's working on karma, so for him, there's going to be inauspicious signs, because it may be against karma.
Yes.
right? It doesn't mean that it's in us, that the problem is there in devotional, but the signs are connected to what you consider auspicious. And he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalashvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada, right? So the first time Narada Muni told him himself, the second time he didn't seem to come himself. When he heard that the Savalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada, and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger, and he spoke as follows. Right? So that's anger. When your lip actually trembles, that's really angry. Right? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Narada considered as follows. The dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu, Priyavrata, Uttanapada, Dhruva, and others all attained the Lord by my efforts. Prachinabarhi also, though involved in karma, was delivered. His sons, the 10 Prajetas, and his grandsons, the Haryasvas, and the 1,000 Savalasvas, were delivered. How is it that only Daksha remains playing in the blind hole of household life? Right, he's delivered the whole line. Why is it only this guy is not getting delivered? I will deliver him also. Hearing that his sons have renounced, lamenting Daksha now remains in his house with detachment. Now is a suitable time to give him mercy. Right, so that's why then he went. So he didn't go to tell him that.
Yes.
You know, because he told him the first time, because he might say, oh, wow, nice, you know, great.
Yes.
But he didn't, so he didn't tell him to go the second time. But then, now he's thinking, he'll be lamenting, now he'll be open to devotional service, right? Because when you get fed up with the material world, then there's an opening that you could give up material life. So he thought, okay, now is the moment. If he does not come to me, I will go to his house. For this reason, Narad went to see Daksha. Okay. So he went there to preach again, you know. Okay, we've gotten everybody else in the line, so then, you know. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanaki.